News with Nick. It is Christmas Eve, December 24th, 2017. We are here. Remember at the beginning of 2017 when I wore this hat and I did a three-hour stream alone in my room for the new year? That was pretty stupid, right, everyone? All right, let's check the chat. We have Cancer and Daniel Barron are in the chat for the Christmas Eve edition of News with Nick. And we are still recording in the New Hampshire, that is, and by we, I mean Nick is. However, we do have some moving updates for Andrew and Puke. So Sunday, what day is it now? Oh, Sunday. It is Sunday now. Yesterday was Saturday. So Friday, we get this truck, and Andrew and Puke bring it to Keene. And they go, ooh, we need help loading it. So I'm like, oh, this is the worst thing that I could ever imagine having to do. Let's go. So I show up at Andrew and Puke's house, and this is the truck. It looks like this. Now, obviously, it does not look like this with the logo on it. And I'm going to start the stream. I'm going to start the video version. So hello, video version of the show. It is News with Nick. So this is the big truck here. And we loaded that whole thing. So if you go on the Facebook page, you can see some pictures of Andrew standing in the back of the truck with the stuff. It was real awful, and it was snowing like the whole time, and I was getting frostbite. And I was like, this is a pretty cool canvas. I should Photoshop some logos on. And that's, you think Photoshop is like, okay, I'm going to copy an my hat is freaking like uneven, and it's really bad. But, you know, this is a mostly audio version, so maybe we'll put the video version behind the paywall, but the audio version free this week. You always think, like, oh, I'm just going to paste a logo on it. It'll look funny. But then you paste a logo on it, it just looks completely fake. And so I spent several minutes going, how do you Photoshop something onto a slanted surface? Because, obviously, I took the picture of the truck. It wasn't 100% straight on. So it's really obvious if you paste a logo on sideways. So you Google. So you what you do is you get the vanishing point filter, put that on the image, and then you can just paste objects on there willy-nilly. And then you have to do some shading or filtering to make sure the layer looks like it was actually on the truck in real life. So everyone who saw this on Facebook, I assume, thought it was Puke's, right? Now, Puke would never do a Photoshop that was this shitty. You can look, it look like part of Andrew's head is missing, like right here. And I don't know. There's some other stuff, like the stuff around his legs is not very cropped out very good. But anyway, there it is. Very hilarious of me. So that was the truck. And so we loaded it up. And then apparently 3:45 a.m. on Saturday, Andrew and Puke somehow left after sleeping for 0.2 hours or something like that. And they get to Pittsburgh, and then Puke pulls the truck into a gas station like this, and apparently it got stuck, right? Because they've got a car trailer on the back here, so he'd made a turn, but if he had kept going, the car's going to hit the gas pumps, but you can't back up because it's a car trailer. It's just a dolly, so the wheels of the car are also on the... Ooh, it was a cop going by. The wheels of the car on the ground and the dollies on the ground, and so the car would pivot and, like, you can't do it. You can't back up. So they had to detach the trailer, I guess, and then finally get the truck lined up and get the trailer out again. All right, that is the last I heard is they have arrived, and I had some photos of them loading into the house actually already. I can't believe that they have unlimited muscle. Like, stamina. I woke up on Saturday. I was like, oh, my goodness. I'm sleeping till 10. Every muscle hurts. It's fine now, I guess, because I'm a very strong man, because I go to that gym, right? All right, moving on. What is in the news this week? It has been a long time since we did an actual news show, not just a news quiz. Andrew, first question. Oh, wait. No. That'd be funny if we had him on Skype doing the questions. Here's a photo. So Amtrak had a train. Amtrak train derails. It was going 80 miles per hour in a 30-mile-per-hour zone. According to the NSFB, federal officials confirmed an Amtrak train was hurtling 50 miles per hour over the speed limit when it careened off an overpass south of Seattle, spilling cars into the highway below and killing at least three people. Bella Dinjar, an NTSB member, said that a late-night news conference Monday that information from the event data recorder in the rear locomotive showed the train was traveling at 80 miles per hour in a 30-mile-per-hour zone when it derailed 7:34 a.m. Mangled train cars ended up on top of each other, and one hung precariously over the freeway. So you're riding along, like, just on my way to work. Oh, by the way, this train had never taken this route before. It was the Titanic of the trains, right? Inaugural trip. Positive train control, the technology that can slow or stop speeding train, wasn't in use on this stretch of track. I've said this before. Everyone always focuses on this. Oh, man, we should have had that positive train control there. Why wouldn't we have it? Well, it's probably super expensive. A track chart prepared by the Department of Transportation shows that the maximum speed drops from 79 miles per hour to 30 miles per hour just before the track's curve. So I've played Train Simulator. I know how this goes. You're riding along. You're like, ah, it's 80. You didn't see the sign that meant to 30, right? And so you're just going along at 80, and then you're coming up on this curve, and you're like, that looks like too tight of a curve for 80. Uh-oh. You slam on the brakes, but it's a train, so it's too late. And then all of the trains go everywhere. We were coming up on that curve. The train slowed down considerably, he said, adding, in no way did it make me feel like we were going too fast. Wait, well, who's that? I don't know. Was that one of the passengers? I'm so confused. When the clanging of metal and screeching stopped, at first it was quiet. Then came the screams. After the crash, the injured called out as rescuers, including people who had been in cars on their morning freeway commute, rushed to help. One of the train passengers was Emma Schaffner. Schaffer, who found herself at a 45-degree angle, staring at the seats in front of her that had dislodged and swung around. It felt oddly silent after the actual crashing. Then there were people screaming because their leg was messed up. I don't know. That's so specific. They're screaming because their leg was messed up, not like, oh, I hit my head. I don't know if I actually heard the sirens, but they were there. A guy was like, hey, I'm Robert. We'll get you out of here. The train wasn't full. Authorities said there were 80 passengers and 5 on-duty crew members on board when it derailed and pulled 13 cars off the track. Authorities said that there were 3 confirmed deaths. More than 70 people were taken for medical care, including 10 with serious injuries. So there's going to be like permanent injuries outside of just the 3 deaths, which I haven't even actually found out. Were the 3 deaths people on the train or people on the road that got crushed by a train car falling on them? And I don't know if that information is out yet. Here is the photo of the ticket that you get if you to get on the train. It's the Amtrak Cascades 2017 rollout for December 18th, 2017. So the obvious joke is, oh, it rolled out. It completely rolled off the tracks too, right? Oh, boy. Want to hear the call from the thing?
A dramatic radio transmission of the moment the train's conductors called 911. Here you go.
Amtrak 501. Emergency. We are on the ground.
Okay.
We are on the bridge 5 in the square.
I wonder how often they... Nick, why do you keep pausing the video? I wonder how often they actually practice doing emergency transmissions. The guy seems dramatically calm for having just crashed an entire train, and probably there are people dead.
We are on the ground.
Okay.
We are on the bridge 5 in the square.
That'll do. Easy stop, tack bar.
On the freeway. Need EMS ASAP. It looks like they're already starting to show up.
NSF's the train dispatcher, 501, come in.
Amtrak 501 answering Centralia North, over.
Hey guys, what happened?
We were coming around the corner to take the bridge over I-5 there.
I like how like, they're supposed to be doing, like, right now, it's emergency situation. Send the responders, whatever. But no, the guy on the call is like, hey, what happened? And as I've learned from several years covering news and train crashes, you should say, I have no memory? I have no memory. All I know is that we've crashed. So send the people out.
Right 5 there, right north into Squally, and we went on the ground.
Okay, are you, is everybody okay?
I'm still figuring that out. We got cars everywhere and down onto the highway.
Okay.
As soon as I know exactly where all my train is, I'll let you know.
We got cars down onto the highway.
When you look at that picture right there, you can
see... He's so calm for maybe having just caused a ton of deaths, right? But they, I don't know. Maybe that guy wasn't the one at the wheel? At the lever thing? I don't know. Weird. Because I think there were multiple crew members on there. But usually there's just one in charge. Now, I have read that they found out they weren't texting, so there's that at least. Federal investigators say a video aboard the Amtrak train that derailed shows crew members weren't using personal electronic devices and that the engineer remarked about the speed 6 seconds before the train went off the tracks. So he was looking ahead. He's like, that curve seems too fast for what we're doing. I have to assume he didn't see the speed limit. It's their first time doing the trip, although wouldn't you have done a practice trip before you put passengers on it? But anyway, so he didn't see the speed limit sign or didn't know that the speed limit was lower and therefore went through it at full speed off that rail. Louisville, Kentucky. A Louisville family is shaken up but unharmed after a truck slammed into the front of her house on New Cut Road near West Indian Trail last week.
A Louisville family is shaken up but unharmed after a truck slams into the front of their house. The driver...
I just said that. Why is that guy saying the exact same stuff I am?
A 10-year-old girl said she did it on purpose.
Sounded like a bomb went off.
Joshua Pate had just gotten home from work around 2:30 Friday afternoon when this happened. A truck crashed into his home near the intersection of New Cut Road and West Indian Trail.
Yeah, everybody was in shock. Everybody's still in shock.
The driver of the truck was a 10-year-old girl. She wasn't injured, but Pate heard her speaking with officers once they arrived.
He couldn't believe what she said. You know, he was like, excuse me? And she said, I wanted to kill people. And he said, I'm sorry, what'd you say? And she said, I wanted to kill people.
5 children were in the room at the time. Pate says the furniture saved their lives.
The love seat slid around and made it kind of as a barrier.
Man, did this girl play too much GTA or what?
The back of the love seat's kind of tall, like, you know, this high. And the kids... I think they just kind of slid with the love seat.
Seconds before, Christina Bryan tells WDRB the girl hit her car before crashing into the home. Bryan's car is totaled. She was hit so hard, it caused her vehicle to spin several times, even creating cuts in the pavement.
When I heard it was a 10-year-old girl, I...
That doesn't make any sense. How would her tires create cuts in the pavement?
You know, my first reaction should have been, is she okay? But when I looked down there, she was walking from the truck to getting into the back of the cop car. I knew she was okay.
Bryan has some minor scrapes and bruises and is wondering how this could have happened.
So a girl takes her dad's truck and goes, I've been playing that GTA. And then she floors it into a car in real life, right? And then floors it into a house. Wow. No one knows who this is, though, because she's underage. But crazy story there. All right, we got another tad. Not a real tad, a new tad.
...for a teenager who went missing in Florida.
Now, Caitlin Frazina was found thousands of miles away from home in New York with a high school soccer coach. Her parents flying out to bring her home. And Ron is back with the latest on how they were found. Ron.
Yeah, that multi-state search for the couple drew national attention. It all ended after an alert New York State trooper spotted the pair in a car that they were riding in, ending the week-long manhunt.
Ryan, why didn't you tell Caitlin's parents?
This morning, a Florida high school soccer coach in jail. Ryan Rodriguez, accused of running off with a 17-year-old student.
Yeah.
All right, so she runs off with the soccer coach, right? The parents say, we had a very beautiful, wonderful, very emotional reunion with her a little while ago. We are so thankful to have her back. So you're like, well, I mean, why couldn't she run away with the soccer coach? She's almost 18. And there's some surveillance photos of her in various places, right? Let's see. Coach, who ran away with Florida teen now facing child sex charge. Rian Rodriguez, 27, planned to leave the country with the 17-year-old. Rian Rodriguez was caught in Syracuse, New York, with a Columbia County teenager. He had been planning to buy bogus credentials so the two could leave the country. Rodriguez has been charged with unlawful sexual activity with a minor, which was upgraded to a first-degree felony because he was in a position of authority over the girl. He had previously been charged with interference with child custody, a third-degree felony. He was brought back to the Columbia County this week after choosing not to fight extradition. According to the charge, Rodriguez had sex with the teen multiple times. Court documents show that both Rodriguez and the girl admitted to a sexual relationship when they first met. I can't find the documents. I'm so mad. Who wants to listen to a 17-year-old girl talk? Well, good point. The chat says, I can't find the documents. I'm so mad. They keep saying there's court documents, but we can't. But I can't find them anywhere. A friend of Frisina said the teen, a Fort White High School soccer player, was in a relationship with Rodriguez, who was the assistant coach for the boys' team. Frisina's father found several suggestive Snapchat messages between his daughter and Rodriguez after the two took off. Her own statement was that she did most of the planning in this and that she pushed Rianne to... Her own statement was that she did most of the planning in this and that she pushed Rianne to do that. The defense attorney said, I do think framing the age of the alleged victim and the statements that she's made this very difficult than a case of a much younger child who is coerced into doing something. So the defense attorney's going, she did it. It's her fault. Right? The prosecutor then responded by saying Rodriguez knew what he was doing was wrong, but continued to do it anyway. Well, okay. When investigators asked Frisina about the relationship, she said she was not in a good place. She was under a lot of stress and she was mentally and physically drained. When asked how she felt Rodriguez would handle the breakup, otherwise known as the arrest, we're going to have to break up because you're arrested for hanging out with me. She told investigators in part that she had no idea how to deal with it, and she felt he would have tried to do something to ruin her life, meaning that if she didn't run off, that he would have done something bad. Frisina's mother, Scarlett, told News 4 Jax on Sunday night that the family was back home in Fort. She issued the statement. We are very tired, worn out, in fact, physically and emotionally, and we feel that she's home, she's okay. We're seeking counseling to help us work through these things that are prolonging the story. And prolonging the story isn't what she needs. Thanks, News, with Nick, for prolonging this story. We're incredibly grateful for all of the coverage and assistance. Everyone, blah, 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 blah. Apparently, so she jumps out the bedroom window. She left her phone behind, but she'd factory reset it. I heard that. However, somehow they were able to still go into Snapchat and get some messages out, but I wasn't able to find them because they're in the documents. So she was scared, didn't know what to do, ran off with the soccer coach. And says police said that after checking the daughter's bank account, they saw that she withdrew $200 from an ATM in Georgia. Wow, we're out. Hey, I'm a soccer coach and I have no money. Do you happen to have $200? 17-year-old, let's go to the ATM. You can get it. We can get some Chick-fil-A. Huh? Call back. 17 is the age of consent, I thought. Not for crossing state lines. You got to go right up into the line and then go, just kidding, cops. Can't get me. I didn't cross the line. if you pull out before crossing the line of the state, it is good. Trust me.
If you own an iPhone, something you don't want to hear this morning, phone updates are actually slowing down older models. Let's bring in CNN Money correspondent Samuel Burke live in London. Samuel, good morning to you. Lots of us have thought this for years, but why might it be happening?
This is an urban tech legend that goes back for years, but it turns out it may not be so untrue. Not like a lot of us tech people thought. People were just complaining. Basically, what people have always thought is when a new iPhone comes out and then they do an iOS update to their current iPhone, all of a sudden it slows down, making people think that Apple is trying to force them to buy one of the new iPhones, like the ones you see on your screen. Well, this morning, an Apple spokeswoman confirmed to me that it's true. The iOS updates do slow down your phones if you have an iPhone 6, 6S, or SE, but not for the reason some people might suspect.
Not officially. Okay, so everyone says, oh, Seems like the new iPhone came out, and now suddenly my old iPhone is very slow. What a conspiracy, right, everyone? Apple must be remotely slowing down my phone. And then Apple goes, we are. But how about it's because your battery might run out if we don't?
They say basically what's happening in these phones is that the battery peaks sometimes as it gets older, causing the phone to shut down. So they're sending out an update that will slow the phone down a bit, but prevent that battery from peaking and shutting down, though I'm sure some people will still suspect otherwise.
Of course. Yeah, you let it, little information out at a time. So this came out this week where Apple was like, oh, we are slowing down the iPhone. And everyone's like, oh, I knew it. So that's a little bit of a... not very much to talk about there. Indianapolis man sentenced to 80 years for shooting two while disguised as an elderly woman. An Indianapolis man who disguised himself as an elderly woman and then shot his ex-girlfriend and her brother has been sentenced to 80 years in prison. On July 22, 2015, Michael Love was disguised as an elderly woman when he approached his ex-girlfriend and her brother as they loaded five children into a vehicle to take them to daycare. Love approached the vehicle, pulled out a handgun out of a plastic grocery bag, and fired multiple shots at his ex-girlfriend, striking her three times. As her brother attempted to come to her aid, he fired the gun in his direction, striking him once in the face. Ooh. Eee. Multiple witnesses reported seeing Love dressed in a brown dress and stockings knotted at the knee, wearing a wig and a mask as he ran toward the vehicle before firing shots. At the time of the offense, there was a protective order against him to stay away from the female victim. So he goes to the old lady store and decides, this stuff will fit. And puts a lot of effort into dressing up as an old woman and going, hello? Hello, I would like some assistance. And by assistance, I mean bullets to your face. All right. The chat says, in Connecticut at 17, I learned this when a friend of a friend got arrested over a false rape accusation with a 17. Yeah. All right. So there's that. So last night I'm here and minding my own business on the internet. And by the way, my internet keeps going out sometimes. Like it will just like two or three times a night. It will just be like, but I'm out. And then it will come back. And I don't know if it's my router or if it's actually the service getting to the house, which is real bad. So I'm sitting here minding my own business. Internet goes out. And then like 15 seconds later, my computer shuts off, and I hear, bzzz. And I look at the window, and I hear, and it goes, bzzz, bzzz, and there's, like, bright lights, and everything's flashing. I'm like, whoa, something's exploding. And all my power was out, right? And so I had to call the power company, but now I'm sitting in the dark. All I've got are, like, six candles lighting my room, and I go, okay. So I grab my headlamp. And I text my friend from the next town, and she says, hey, yeah, we're sitting in a restaurant, and it's completely dark. And I'm like, I am coming. So I go to the restaurant, and I legit, like, hang out in a restaurant with no power. It's a stupid restaurant. They have a table. They have a bar, but it's not really a bar. It's just a long surface that looks a lot like a bar, but they don't know how to run it. So I'm like, can I have a beer? And I just want to pay you like a normal bar. And so they get a beer out of the cupboard, but they don't know how to ring it up. Because A, the power's out, and B, the guy doesn't even know how much it is. Because normally it just goes on the tap. So he's like, he's running around the restaurant going, how much is, this guy just wants to buy one beer. What a weirdo. And so anyway, the point is, I call the power company. They finally come out and fix it. But that was very dramatic. I guess branches fell on the lines and just started like all this electrical stuff going everywhere. Good story. College student accused of offering chicken Alfredo and Sprite for sex. Now, at first, that sounds pretty normal. Like you say, hey, girl, you want to go out for some chicken Alfredo? And if you want a Sprite, that's good too. I mean, Sprite's way cheaper than what I normally have to buy people, which is like a ton of wine, right? Hey, one bottle of Sprite, I'm in. An Ohio college student in Youngstown State University is accused of trying to trade chicken Alfredo and Sprite for sex with an underage boy. Okay. All right. All right, the story has changed dramatically. Because now it's stupid and gay. What a weirdo. Police said 22-year-old Albert Maruna IV believed that he was talking to a 15-year-old boy online, but it was really an undercover officer. Look at this guy, by the way. He looks like... I don't freaking know. Who's I don't know. He's very plump, let's say, in the face area. So I'm going to extrapolate that he's plump all the way down. Conversations with him began on December 5th after he responded to a posting on a dating application, according to the police report. Now, wait a minute. The officer told Maruna he was 15, at which time the college student responded that he didn't believe in age. Oh, according to the report. Oh, dear. Wait, a dating app? So the guy is on Tinder or Grindr? The cop is on Tinder or Grindr being 15? I don't this is stupid. You shouldn't be allowed to do that. Police said Maruna's conversation turned to the topic of sexual activity. Well, yeah, it's a dating app. Huh? And Maruna sent nude photographs to the officer. Police said it was evident that he started to develop feelings for the teen boy. As he told the officer, "You are my one and only," and that he would like to be his husband someday. According to a police report, the 22-year-old tried to arrange a meeting with the officer, requesting that he wear a jock strap during their time together. What? Like, is that all you would wear, or wear that under something else? Police said on Tuesday afternoon, Maruna arranged to meet the officer at a location in Austin Town, telling him that he is bringing lube, Sprite, and chicken Alfredo. He used to stop at Market Basket, like, ooh, I don't know how to cook, so let me get one of these pre-mades. Maruna was then arrested and charged with impontuning, disseminating matter harmful or obscene to juveniles. What, the lube? Or the Alfredo chicken? Or the Sprite? That is harmful. If you give a teen Sprite, it's full of sugar, you're arrested. Possession of criminal tools and unlawful sexual conduct with a minor. Police said he was found with the items, including a Tupperware container of chicken Alfredo. Police said during questioning, Maruna did not appear to deem having sex with a 15-year-old as being wrong. Disgusting! Throw him in jail! Right? I don't know, that's funny. Is there any more information about this guy? I only found this one article, so let me pull up and Google his name. See if there's anything else. I think it's just going to be a copy and paste. Ooh. Okay, here's a quote. He said, "Age is a number I believe. I don't believe in age. I'm okay if you okay with me." Huh, whatever. I mean, this is a typical copy and paste. Older person, younger boy, younger girl, whatever. Ah, we should be together because you're a teen and I don't believe in it. My internet keeps cutting out recently, too. Like, during the stream, it keeps buffering. It's just YouTube, though. My IRC client has been connecting for a week or two. Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's my stream. Who knows? All right, we are really flying through these stories today, although we have been going for, like, half an hour, so it's not going to be an awful show. Is there anything you guys want to talk about? I was looking up some information yesterday on lifeboats. Like, I happen to be reading about lifeboats for some reason. Can you believe lifeboats, by the way? Imagine a cruise ship, right? How big that is. And imagine every lifeboat has to fit enough people to get off the cruise ship if, in a weird instance, it starts full on sinking, right? Each one of those lifeboats has to be, like, a ton of money, and it's never going to get used. Like, if the cruise ship... Once they dock, you should be able to take the lifeboats out for a little cruise. Like, hey, pay $100. You can take the lifeboat out, ride around Bermuda on it, and then just dock the lifeboat back to the big ship. But no, the only purpose of lifeboats is to be there in case everyone's dying, and it's probably never going to happen. Can you imagine how much how big the lifeboat industry is for something that never gets used? Crazy. Sorry, I think about weird stuff. Man allegedly beat girlfriend's 5-year-old son for opening present early. An Oklahoma man is behind bars after... Why does everyone keep going behind bars? How about behind a sliding glass door? An Oklahoma man is behind bars after police say he beat his girlfriend's 5-year-old son because the boy opened a Christmas present early. The child's mother said her boyfriend was watching the children while she was Christmas shopping. She came home to something she never thought she would see. She saw bruises on her 5-year-old son's back and arms, welts on his forehead, and an apparent handprint on his cheek. In a Facebook post? Oh no, why? Words cannot explain seeing your baby like this and having no clue what happened. I ran to him like any mother would do, crying, hugging him, begging what happened. Wesley, he said, Wesley hurt me bad, Mama. Oh no, this is the saddest. We got to find this Facebook post. Ooh, here it is. Oh, please. Ooh, man accused of beating child for opening Christmas present early. Oh, yeah, there is a picture. Oh, there are fingerprints on that kid's face. But can you believe that you would post that to Facebook? All the, if I just Google the words, though, it just shows up as a whole bunch of news organizations that have reposted the quote. Let's see if I can find the lady's name. Well, anyway, I don't think it really matters. The woman tells the news that the 25-year-old Wesley told her he was trying to teach the boy a lesson after he took a present from under the Christmas tree and opened it. Well, to be fair, that is a good point. You do not touch the presents until present day. Present day? You're supposed to wait for your gratification. This, I bet you Puke was one of those kids that got to open presents whenever he wanted. Right? Yeah, sure. Open your present whenever you want. And that's why he buys so much stuff now. These people, they don't have the sense of delayed gratification. You got to wait for the present day, and then you open the presents. So hopefully this kid learned his lesson. I don't agree with punching him in the face, but I do agree that you got to wait until the day about talking the presents. Did you guys see a video from the Detroit Lions Stadium? They were supposed to try to blow it up, and, you know, it do all the charges, and it goes, and then the building falls in. Well, here's the thing. All the charges go boom, 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 boom. And then everyone goes, hello? Hello? Only like a sign fell off the front, and that was it. You can see some pieces of the building falling here, and then the rest of it just stays. It's like, oh. Uh-oh. So they had to have someone walk up to it and like push it down with their finger or something and go, hello? Okay, please fall. Now, here's the video. They had to try the next day. And so here's the video of it actually falling. I know this is an audio show, so sorry about this. But this time it blows up. And then the whole top falls in. But they had to try it 2 times. Apparently some of the charges didn't go off the first time. Now, the way this falls, it's really cool. It's a stadium, right? So they only took off, at this point, the upper deck. So actually, if you were standing in the middle, I'm pretty sure you would be 100% safe because it didn't fall into the middle of the field. So you could have had people like in the middle of the field going, ooh, huge explosion, and then watching it. Now, it probably would have been dangerous because it's probably debris. But, and then how would you get out again, right? You're like, okay, now we're in the stadium, but how do we get out because there's just rubble all around us? You'd have to helicopter out maybe. Speaking of little boys, a pedophile went on holiday with a 15-year-old girl and her family after convincing them he was a teenager. Here's a picture of the guy. He's got a beard, going bald a little bit. And I like every story about this guy is just a copy-paste headline, and every single one of them calls him a pedophile. Where, technically, whatever. A pedophile who convinced his 15-year-old victim's family that he was a teenager so he could go on holiday with them has been jailed for 6 years. Clinton, 31, groomed the girl on the internet and tricked her into thinking he was a 19-year-old boy. He also targeted a number of other girls online and encouraged them to send sexually explicit photos. Sentencing him at the Sheffield Crown Court last week, the judge described him as every parent's worst nightmare, a shark swimming in the waters of the internet, preying on children. A lot heard from Bartley, South Yorkshire, had previously pled guilty to a total of 18 charges related to 39 offenses against 4 children. In addition to being jailed for 6 years, he will also be subject to an extended period on license. An extended period on license? What is this, a UK term? for 12 months and subject to sexual harm prevention order, which will prevent him from living with any person under 18. Police will also be allowed to monitor his internet use. Eee! Sir? You're getting real close to crossing the line with some of these searches here. Investigation also led to the arrest of another man. So, whatever. So, somehow, he shows up, and they go, oh, sure, you're 19, come on the vacation with us. And I can't find any information about what they did on vacation. Did they hang out in the hot tub? Did they take a lifeboat around an island? It doesn't even say where they went or how many days they were gone. The whole headline is just, oh, this guy, and how did they find out, right? This is like a movie, and there's no details. Were they, curious a day in that he keeps talking about, hey, who was born in the 80s or something? And they're going, wait a minute, how were you born in the 80s if you're 19? And he goes, oh, I didn't mean that, just kidding. I'm just a little 19-year-old boy. And over the days, they get more and more suspicious until they finally call the police. There's, no information on how they actually uncovered. Or did they do the entire trip, and then they called the police later? Whatever. Avon and Somerset police identified Slothard after Barnard's raised concern about his contact with a vulnerable girl in Bristol. What? I don't know. Following his arrest, the officers examined several of his electronic devices, which revealed the extent of his offending. So not a lot of info on the actual finding him. Here is a photo of him without the beard. So he does kind of look 19 in this one, if you squint, and it's a really blurry photo to begin with. So there's that. All right, so recently, we haven't done a news show since the really decisive victory of Doug Jones, or whatever his name is, in Alabama. And he was against this guy named Roy Moore. Speaking of little boys or girls. And everyone keeps saying, Roy Moore, that pedophile. And I keep going, why do people keep saying this? Not because I disagree with it, but because I had no clue what was going on. Timeline of the accusations against Roy Moore. You guys probably already know most of this. However, so basically this is a guy. He's a politician. And what the timeline boils down to is that he keeps being weird throughout his life, even when he's 19, 25, 30, with girls who are 14. In 1977, when she was 14, Moore introduced himself to Lee Korfman, outside a child custody hearing at a local courthouse. He later called her and asked her on a date, during which, she alleges, he took her to his house and tried to initiate sexual contact. And he was 32 during this. A, 1977, phones didn't exist. False news? Phones did not exist. At least not a phone that you could call a 14 on. So he calls the girl's house and goes, oh, yes, it is I. I'm just a 19-year-old boy. Can I speak to your daughter, Lee? Right? First of all, I wasn't alive in 1977. How did people even go on dates or talk to each other? Can anyone let me know? Is anyone here 50 and knows how this worked? So he called her, asked her on a date. She agrees to go on a date. After which, she alleges, he took her to his house and tried to initiate sexual contact. Okay. Next story. Wendy Miller. Moore first started talking to her when she was working as an elf at the Gadsden Mall at the age of 14. 2 years later, he began to ask her on... So he goes to the mall. 2 years later, he began to ask her on dates. 2 years! He waited a whole 2 years? That's some pretty self-restraint there. He's like, all right, I'm going to wait till you're 16. Began to ask her on dates. Her mother prevented her from doing so. He was also 32, so this all happened within 1 year. Here's another one 2 years later when he's 34... Moore came to her civics class at high school to talk about serving as assistant district attorney and then asked her on a date. They dated for several months while she was 17. He was 34. She agreed! I think the moral of this story and this news show is that it's really easy to just keep asking teens on dates, and they keep saying yes for some reason, just because you're in your 30s. So I'm going to be going to high school soon. Gloria says that she was 18 when she was working in a mall, and then Moore asked her out. They dated off and on for several months. Moore was 32. There's a lot of times when Moore is 32. I feel like all these are conflicting. What if he was like, no, I couldn't have possibly done all of this when I'm 32. What do you think I am? Every mall, every day? So here's a video of a lady who describes what happened to her.
I happened to bring my yearbook to work with me to the restaurant on December the 22nd, 1977. He wrote in my yearbook as follows: to a sweeter, more beautiful girl. I could not say Merry Christmas. Christmas.
What does that even mean? To a sweeter, more beautiful girl than what? Than anything on earth? I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. Who cares what he wrote in the yearbook?
And it signed it, Roy Moore, D.A. He stopped the car and he parked his car.
Starting to get dramatic. Here we go.
In between the dumpster and the back of the restaurant.
A dumpster? Isn't that where that guy got the drunk girl, too? That lacrosse guy or a soccer guy, whatever he was? If you see it, if you're a girl and you're with a guy and you see a dumpster, get to out. Because nothing good happens next to a dumpster.
Where there were no lights. The area was dark and it was deserted. I was alarmed and I immediately asked him what he was doing. Instead of answering my questions, Mr. Moore reached over and began groping me and putting his hands on my breasts. I tried to open my car door to leave, but he reached over and he locked it so I could not get out.
What? So it's probably one of those old, this is the 70s, right? So there's no electric locks. So they've got those plunger locks. So he goes, no, boom, hits the plunger lock, keeps groping, right? Simultaneously.
I tried fighting him off while yelling at him to stop. But instead of stopping, he began squeezing my neck, attempting to force my head onto his crotch.
Wait, but are his pants off or just he still got jeans or shorts on? And by the way, yeah, forcing a girl's face to your crotch is not, that's not a good idea. Just because you could get hurt.
My head onto his crotch. I continued to struggle. I was determined that I was not going to allow him to force me to have sex with him. I was terrified. He was also trying to pull my shirt off. I thought that he was going to rape me. I was twisting and I was struggling and I was begging him to stop. I had tears running down my face.
Jeez.
At some point, he gave up. And he then looked at me and he told me, he said, you're just a child. And he said, I am the district attorney of Etowah County. And if you tell anyone about this, no one will ever believe you.
Good story. It's pretty cool. So that's what happened. All accusations. Who knows if they're real, right? They probably are, because a lot of people say, yeah, he was at the mall a lot. We just didn't say anything about it. Beverly Nelson was 16 when she worked at the restaurant called Old Hickory House. This is the one we just heard, I think. Moore said that during a news conference this week, was a regular customer who at one point signed her yearbook. One evening, he offered her a ride home, and she alleges that he instead drove behind the restaurant where there was a dumpster and assaulted her. So that's what happened, and he did not end up winning his Senate seat, and everyone was very happy about that, though it was a close race.
Detailing allegations of sexual harassment and racist behavior involving Jerry Richardson, The Carolina Panthers owner then announced he is selling the team at the end of the season. John Wertheim, along with Viv Bernstein, were the reporters on the story. John joins me now.
Friday was jeans day, when most staffers at the Carolina Panthers team offices would wear denim to work. The female employees knew what that meant. As the team's owner, Jerry Richardson, made his rounds on the way to his spacious office, he would ask women to turn around so he could admire their backsides. Then, in his rolling southern drawl, he would offer comment, drawing from a store of one-liners he'd recycle each week, among those heaviest in rotation. Show me how you wiggle to get those jeans up. I bet you had to lay down on your bed to fit in those jeans. Did you step into those jeans, or did you have to jump into them? Richardson's conduct was treated as something of a running office joke, according to multiple former Panthers team employees, all of whom spoke on the condition of anonymity out of fear of retaliation. Male employees would knowingly ask the women whether the Carolina owner had noticed them that day. Women subjected to Richardson's comment would often dismiss them with a sheepish wave of the hand. No one ever said anything, at least not that I heard, said one former Panthers employee. He was the boss. It was viewed more of a creepy old man thing than a threat. So, he's level one, right? He goes around and he just says the stupid same stuff over and over again and just makes weird comments to female employees. Now, they're saying it was a creepy old man thing, not a threat, but it's finally come out that he did it, so now he's selling the Panthers. You guys are probably wondering what he sounds like. There's no interviews of him after this happened, but I did find this interview of him before, so you can actually hear what his voice sounds like and see if he really is a creepy old man.
People who criticized what was going on with the Panthers last year.
Well, I can see where the criticism was warranted. We let them down, and hopefully the changes we made are going to produce a result that will not be something that we have to deal with. We feel terrible when we don't meet the expectation of our fans. When we think about Morgan, people drive here from Wilmington or Beaufort.
Yep, he is definitely dumb and old. Or is it just anyone with a southern accent sounds dumb? To other Panthers employees, Richardson's behavior on Jeans Day was consistent with a broader pattern of disturbing and potentially actionable office behavior. On Friday evening, the Panthers announced that they had commenced an internal investigation into allegations of workplace misconduct against Richardson, to be led by an outside law firm. Now, if he's the owner, the straight-up owner, aren't his employees the ones doing the investigation? Can he just fire them? If you do an investigation, you're fired. I guess another news agency would be like, he keeps firing people who are doing investigations, and that wouldn't work out too well. Let's see. During its own investigation in the weeks prior, SSI, Sports Illustrated, learned that on multiple occasions where Richardson's conduct was triggered, complaints for sexual harassment against female employees and for directing a racial slur at an African-American employee. He has taken a leaf from the playbook that he has deployed in the past. Confidential settlements were reached and payments were made to complainants accompanied by NDAs and non-disparagement clauses designed to shield the owner and the organization from further liability and damaging publicity. Sports Illustrated has been made aware of at least four former Panthers employees who have received significant settlements from Richardson or from the team in exchange for what amounted to a vow of silence. So, hey, this guy's rich and he keeps doing weird stuff. Can you please be quiet about that? How old is that Roy guy? The Roy guy? Is that his name? No, this is Jerry Richardson. Roy Moore is, like, in his 50s, right? Well, hang on. I don't know. I don't remember. He was, like, 32 in the 70s, right? So he's a lot older than that. This Jerry Richardson guy, no, he's, like, in his 80s or 90s. But he's going to be selling the Panthers now after this has come out that he loves Jeans Day. All right. So I'm going to be actually traveling starting tonight or early tomorrow, trying to fly to Michigan, and it's not looking good. Look at the weather. It's like, your guy's going to get 18 feet of snow, and so good luck driving. I'm not actually sure what I'm going to do. I'm heavily considering just staying up till midnight and then just driving very slowly to Connecticut and just hanging out in the airport and being like, is my flight leaving or not? Right? So I could be stuck for quite a while. Very scared. However, this past week, Atlanta Hartsfield Jackson Airport had its power out. Nearly 11 hours after a power outage paralyzed the world's busiest airport, Atlanta's International got its electricity back. The lights flickered on shortly before midnight after an exhausting day for travelers. They had left thousands stranded in dark terminals and on planes sitting on the tarmac. A ground stop in Atlanta disrupted air travel across the United States and led to cancellations of more than 1,000 flights. Shortly after the power came back, passengers started lining up for the security screen, hoping to beat the crowd at the TSA checkpoint. The airport could see a logjam of passengers and delays as more than 400 flights have been canceled Monday. The outage, which affected all airport operations, started with a fire in the Georgia Power Underground Electrical Facility. So the power goes out for the entire airport. No flights leaving or whatever. And so people are sitting on the plane. Some of them said they literally sat on the plane for like 6 hours going, well, we're just on the plane. I don't know how cold it is out, but there's a certain point that I pull the chute. I'm like, I don't care. I got to be inside. This is crazy. I can't be sitting on this plane. Oh my goodness, there's an employee riding down an escalator, like the middle of an escalator. So, there's escalators, and then in the middle there's the metal railing. There's an employee right here riding down the middle just to get from the second story to the first story. Is that an employee or is that just some black guy? No, she's got a badge, and it's not a guy. Wait, is it a guy? I think it was a guy. I'm trying to find a clip of something. Wait, what? I thought I found this before we started the show. Oh, well. So anyway, power goes out.
Inside, as the airport ground to a standstill.
We were literally carrying old people down the escalators and up escalators and carrying wheelchairs. And my heart was like racing because I'm scared for these people's lives.
No, your heart was racing because you're literally carrying old people, if that's true, up and down escalators. You're like, oh, man, I made it to the top. Why is my heart racing? Oh, man, it must be because I'm scared for your life. No, it's because you just did like a dead weight carry up an escalator.
And carrying wheelchairs, and my heart was like racing because I'm scared for these people's lives.
Once we walked down the escalator, which was a nightmare, then we have to go through the tunnels that are pitch black. It's scary. That was a nightmare.
Hundreds more travelers were stuck inside airplanes waiting for a gate.
We sat on the tarmac for 6 hours. I have my five-month-old with me. Now we're trying to get to Fort Myers.
Your five-month-old is now 6 months old because you were on the plane for so long.
But all the flights have been canceled.
No power. No light.
Georgia Electric believes switchgear failed, sparking an underground fire that took out backup systems and substations powering the airport. Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed.
But I want to be very clear. We do have a redundant system, but it was impacted by the intensity of the fire.
With well over 1,000 flights canceled.
All right, so that happened. So this is going to be me tonight. Sitting at the airport going, hello, are we going anywhere? Or is my Christmas ruined? Aren't you guys excited for me to be sleeping on the airport floor going, hello, I need to get to Michigan. Maybe it'll take off. Maybe Connecticut won't be as affected by whatever's happening. But it's looking scary. It's not snowing right now. But if you look at the news, it's like, ooh, it is coming. All right. Uplifting story. Oklahoma mom reports son missing. Only to find out he was trying to make money to buy her a Christmas gift. One Oklahoma boy's secret mission to surprise his mom for Christmas snowballed into a larger surprise for his whole family after their local police officers banded together to ensure the family had an amazing Christmas. According to the news, single mom Sophia Reed had used the last of her extra funds, including Christmas money, in order to move herself and her children into a new apartment in the city. Mom, what are we getting for Christmas? You're getting to move these boxes, kid. So the family was prepared to spend Christmas, perhaps having a nice dinner, enjoying one another's company. Reed's children, however, had a different plan, intent on buying a Christmas present. Son Diaris's grand surprise was foiled after he turned up missing for a rather long time, sparking fear in his mother's heart. Sophia Reed called the police not knowing of her child's plan. I was afraid he was going to get in trouble. By the way, he is, you know, not white. I was afraid he was going to get in trouble. Dayaris's sister, Dinesha, said, I was very afraid he was going to get into trouble. I didn't want to say anything because it would blow the whole thing. Oh, so the sister knew about the plan? First of all, we haven't even figured out what he was doing yet. Turns out, 13-year-old Dayaris, on the suggestion of his sister, Dinesha. Wait, Dinesha? Dinesha's the kid's sister, not the mom's sister. Jeez. Had started sneaking out and collecting cans in an effort to make money to buy a gift. I just wanted to do something for my mama. Oh, that's very nice. He quickly returned home when he saw officers and told them what he was doing. His story touched one officer's heart so much that he soon started spreading word about this around the station. There were so many knocks on the door. Everybody was just knocking. Just was knocking. What a strange quote. And every time I opened the door, it was the police. Oh, goodness. You must be used to that. Every time... I don't know why that's funny. There were so many knocks on my door. Everyone was just knocking. Just was knocking. And every time I opened my door, it was the police. The police. Sophia Reed recalled. Yeah. Because the police are always coming. They're not coming to give you gifts. Soon the area under the Christmas tree started to be loaded with gifts. Oh, maybe they were. Officers had banded together and raised some $800 and also bought the family Christmas, the housewarming gifts. So now every time a black opens the door, it's the police. Like, aha! It's Santa. Soon the area... Most of the time when I see the police, it's like bad stuff. Dr. said, up here, I guess it's changed. Good. They caught us at the right time. We were so grateful, his mom added.
Thank you, Kevin. New tonight, a story that'll make you smile. Sending assistance to a single mother.
Skipping ahead.
You got the coat. They gave you everything.
A list of unexpected gifts waiting under the tree.
We was expecting a nice... dinner for Christmas and, you know, just be together and just show love to each other.
That's because single mother Sophia Reed just moved them into their new apartment.
What little Christmas money we had and, you know, to pay my security deposit to move.
Then last week, a moment of panic when her 13-year-old Dayaris disappeared.
All right, so we already covered the story. So it's a poor black family. They keep getting knocked at the door. And it's the police Santa. Police Santa. All right, so this week we may also re-release episode 75. Puke and Andrew wanted you guys to hear that. But if not, if you're part of the PCL, just head on over. If you're getting this, you are actually getting this for free. So please head over to pukeinthegang.com/VIP. Sign up for the PCL to get extra bonus content. And regular shows will probably pick up whenever Andrew and Puke build the studio, which probably is not this week. Maybe there will be another show recorded. Well, actually, we have no studio equipment anymore. So they're going to be back in the state for next weekend for the new year. But there is no studio equipment. I literally have two mics, I think. And that is it. So there's that. Let's see what the chat's saying. I got banned from a restaurant for squeezing a broad's tits. But the thing is, she harassed me to do it multiple times. I got banned from a restaurant. Well, maybe that was her trick. She's like, I don't want you in this restaurant anymore. Well, this has been News with Nick, Christmas Eve edition. I hope everyone has a very Merry Christmas and had a Happy Hanukkah if you're a Jew. I hope your Hanukkah sucked and burned down your house like that one story. Google that, right? Hanukkah Mandela fire. It's a Mandela, right? The thing that they put the candles in? After show, this is the part of the story where we read a comment in the local newspaper, and then we call this lady and then see if what she has to say for herself. Judas McClellan writes to the union leader, to the editor, last Sunday we drove to Charming Fair Farm to enjoy a traditional sleigh ride with family and friends. Our group included some grandchildren who enjoyed looking out the window while we were driving there. I held my breath, hoping that I would not have to explain to an inquisitive grandchild what the sign in front of the collision center on Route 3 in Hooksett meant. The large sign said, "We know why Santa is so jolly. He knows where all the bad girls live." Hardly the appropriate use of the beloved Christmas legend. As a woman, I would not feel comfortable entering that center for repair work on my vehicles. Wow. First of all, the joke is, he knows where all the naughty girls live, because naughty are nice, not bad girls. We're going to give this lady a call and see what she has to say for herself. She's probably at church, but let's try it anyway.
Hello?
Hi, I'm looking to speak with Judith.
Just a minute.
Thanks.
Judith!
Oh, my goodness.
Phone! I can hear the phone. Right there, the phone? Yep. Thank you. Hello?
Hi, Judith.
Speaking.
Yeah, so my name is Nick. I'm with News with Nick, and I am actually recording this call because I actually saw you had written to a local paper about a sign in Bedford. Is that right?
A sign over in Hooksett.
Okay.
And I was actually, on Route 3.
Yeah. I was actually curious how that came about and, like, how long has that sign been up and how did that make you feel?
Well, who are you again?
Oh, I do a show. It's newswithnick.com. It's like a podcast
okay.
or whatever. And I was actually, actually saw that in the paper and I wanted to know a little
yes,
bit more
well,
about the sign.
We went over to Charming Fair Farms in Candia. I don't know if you're familiar with Charming Fair Farms. They have a sleigh rides and Christmas stuff. And it went over with a bunch of family and friends, and we're driving on Route 3 in Hooksett. And there's a place called Collision Center, and they have a sign that says, I think it's almost perfect words, I'm not sure, "We know why Santa is jolly. He knows where all the bad girls live."
Right. It was probably Naughty Girls because of the Naughty or Nice song, right?
Right. Might have been naughty, right. But whatever that is. And I held my breath because grandchildren look out the windows. And so nobody said anything, even though some of them were able to read. And I don't know why they use Santa like that. And I don't think my mind is in the gutter, what that person said on the press secretary said. My mind is not in the gutter. But that is not a... can only be taken so many ways.
Sure.
And one of them, I think, is not good.
Right, right, right.
You know? And why would I want to go? And well, I would never go there for business because it's over Hooksett, but certainly not something that makes you comfortable entering that business.
Yeah, I guess most people...
You know, they have this sort of attitude.
I guess most people would just say it's a harmless joke, but do you see a lot of that around where you are offended, or is this like the worst thing
no.
you've seen recently?
I think I lead a rather sedate life, and I just found it very offensive to use the Santa Claus thing at Christmas time, and that's a children's legend, et cetera, and then use it for that kind of message.
Yeah. Now, I don't think Santa, though, if he stopped at the girls' houses, would have enough time to deliver all the rest of the presents, so it's probably not a big problem going on. Anyway, you're the sweetest woman and have been a good sport. I was just wondering... what you thought of that sign and how long it's been up. Maybe I'll interview the hanger of the sign and try to shame them into taking it down. What do you think?
I would think you would know best what to do, but I just felt that it was not a good sign. So if you start to accept things as standard, then you start accepting things as standard. I just didn't want to accept that.
Sure. Now, if you did have to explain the sign to your grandchildren, what would you have said?
I would say something about, well, he'd know where he wouldn't have to leave any presents.
Okay.
But you don't leave presents for naughty people.
All right. So you wouldn't, like, tell them that it's actually someone making a dirty joke? Are you trying to shield the grandchildren from that? Like, how old are they?
It would have been the 7 and the 9-year-old that would have seen it. There's no reason for them to know about this kind of stuff at 7 and 9.
Okay. I mean, they'll learn about it eventually when they get to school, right? Then people will make jokes and you go, this is what I did growing up. I was like, what are you guys talking about? I'm so innocent. And then I had to learn stuff from my friends, but whatever. Anyway, thank you for talking. Bad jokes happen, but
you're welcome.
I do understand the concern. So you're very sweet. I hope you have a great Christmas.
Thank you very much, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, my God. I couldn't do it. She was so nice. Oh, God. Should we call the collision center now? All right, we're done with this.